strengthening Subcommittee of Human Resources, and today we are going to work on House Bill 5029, and the division we're working on division today. So I think we have the materials in front of us, and Peggy will go over the LFO recommendation.
Madam Chair and members of the Subcommittee, you have two handouts in front of you. One is the more detailed spreadsheet that has a cover sheet that summarizes all of the adjustments that will be in the recommendation, and then a separate spreadsheet for each of the six units of the budgetary units of the Health Division. All of the information on the background sheet rolls up to this front sheet for the summary. The other handout you have is a portrait printed page, looks like this, that is a little sort of a narrative rundown of all the decisions that one would make on this spreadsheet. The first one involves an acceptance or not of the current service level calculation. And my recommendation is that you do accept those. I have adjusted those slightly from what the governor's calculations were, and I can address those adjustments as we go down into some of the reductions and enhancements that were in the governor's budget. But specifically, my adjustments had to do with changes that were made in the governor's budget document that, had they been done sooner, would have been current service level issues, namely a change in the inflation rate from that was used, and also the revised PERS rate that was not known until after the budgets were initially calculated. So those are the current service level numbers that are on the about midway through your sheet. I don't know if you want to simply accept those or if you want to vote on them, and do that at the end, whatever is your pleasure.
I think if we can go down the line and accept them, that might help to deal with issues. So the chair would move then that we accept the revised governor's, but the recommendation of LFO for the revised governor's budget, that it would be number two?
Number one. Would be the current service level.
Current service level.
That the calculations in there are acceptable.
Discussion on that? Yeah, it's actually, we're on this cover memo, number one and two.
Madam Chair, just let me ask, is that the thing that matched this?
Yes. Those are the reductions to factor out vacancy factor. They make adjustments for phase in and phase out of program, caseload issues, and so on.
I have no problem.
Madam Chair.
Are you?
What is this one-time thing we face in? One-time cost. Or face out the two lines. When is phase in? That's one-time cost, and one is phase out one-time cost. What is the one-time cost we phase out?
Okay, Madam Chair and Senator Yee. Oh, I hope everybody else's copy doesn't have a letterhead on it. Somebody left a letterhead in the copy machine, apparently. So, anyway, makes it difficult for me to read what the one-time cost. Senator Yee, what these are, if you look through the detail of all of the different divisions, there are numerous examples of phase in and phase out, actually too numerous for me to identify them all, but for example, if you looked under the Centers for Disease Control, Disease Prevention and Epidemiology, I direct you to the budget page 194 where it lists all of the programs that are phased in and phased out. If you look on the phase in and phase out, so if you look on budget page 194, it will give a long list of programs that phase in and a list of programs that phase out. And in each division, there are numerous ones. If there was only one, I put it down. If there were too many to mention, I didn't.
Oh.
Okay.
without objection. Service level is adopted.
The second item is deals with what we call, even I am beginning to call, the reshoot for absence of a better word. This is the revised request that the governor puts forward as a result of adjustments that take place in the most recent rebalance for the current biennium, and which was done in May, and that we did that in House Bill 5059. There were two adjustments in that rebalance for the health division. Two reshoot issues for the health division. One added $105,746 general fund, a little over a million of other funds, and almost a million and a half of federal funds, and 11 positions totaling 8.88 FTE. The general fund portion, the 105, is the prorate that results from the director's office prorate for those issues that you approved in the director's office budget for non-mainframe Y2K issues. This is the 9901 biennium effect of the November changes in that, the May 99 rebalance issues related to that. The other funds and federal funds costs there are roll-up costs associated with a variety of federal grants that were approved in the November rebalance and in the May. And I think there was some in the May rebalance as well.
Mm-hmm.
The positions are associated with those grants.
Representative Ross?
Mm-hmm. Would you just say that last sentence again? Mm-hmm. We have grants, and 11 positions are associated with grants that have been approved by the E-Board?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the effect in 9901 of rolling up those grants. The budget is put together before the November rebalance of 98, and so you've got those rebalances since then reflected here.
Right. And that's the federal grants and the positions that are associated with those grants that have been approved by the E-Board or...
Yes.
Okay.
This is reflecting those because they did not get in the budget because of the timing issue. I've recommended those as limited duration, and I'll explain when I get to the end of the recommendation why. They're not necessarily limited duration positions that would end at the end of the next biennium because of the grant, but I've got some alternatives that I'll address later on if I'm recommending those be limited duration for the time being. Another element of the governor's revised budget request was his proposal to restore $343,225 of general fund money associated with a sort of an unspecified S&S services and supplies reduction that he had taken in his original budget that he sent forward. I'm not recommending the restoration of that general fund cut, primarily because of the need to be as conservative as possible in the use of general fund dollars.
Okay. Shall we, would you like to act on that, or shall we just accept the CFL and then go ahead and maybe go through all of this? What is the committee's...
might help a little more at a time. I mean, the effect of each one is a little different, so there's subtle difference
mm-hmm.
each one, and where you might expect one and another might not be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's look at number two then. The chair would move that we accept what LFO has recommended, and one of those items in bullet number two is not recommended of the restoration of $343,225 of sort of unnamed services and supplies that had previously been cut, as well as the recommendation with an FTE reduction of 0.51 and limited duration. And all of the other verbiage there with the prorate of non-mainframe Y2K costs and phase-in of November 98 E-Board actions.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, the 0.51 limited duration change is simply correcting an error that,
okay.
that the agency indicated that they had made in calculating the FTE.
Is there a discussion? Objection. Hearing and seeing pass that portion.
The next recommendation on item number 3 is to accept the reductions that the governor proposed. Again, this is acceptance of the reduction of the 485 that is in his budget, the inflation factor reduction, which we already dealt with in the current service level issue, the reduction in flexible funding for counties for children and adolescent prevention health services, which is a reduction in the governor's budget. And then the next one is a temporary reduction, which I'll suggest be restored later on, that he had in the budget. Later on he restores that in another package, but just as an acceptance of these reduction packages.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chair would move number 3, package 090, reductions.
Okay. And Chair?
That's Sandy Brown.
What is the effect of reducing the adolescent and child preventive health services by 212? What does that do?
The agency can correct me, but I believe that was about a 7% reduction in those services.
And do we have a rationale for that, or do you think our kids are healthier now than they used to be, or?
The agency may want to address that since this was a governor's reduction.
This was a governor's reduction.
And George may want to recommend that.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, this was just us getting down to our target. This is one of the options that was put up as our reductions as we went through the process. There's a 7% reduction. This money is used by the local health departments as they see fit to deal with the issues relating to these kids. We just said across the board, we're going to take this reduction, and that's how we got there.
Any objection? Hearing and seeing none.
The next group of packages.
I said 090, but actually it's number 3, the package 090 reduction. So now we're on.
Yes. 090. What happened in this package 090 is a kind of a grab bag of issues that gets taken care of at the last minute in the preparation of the governor's recommended budget, and it also had some enhancements in it, some of which recommending. They are generally, the first one, for instance, is the phase-in of the chemical stockpile program approved by the emergency board in November, too late to get into the budget document in this detail, and it provides the other funds limitation needed for the next biennium and the position that was approved in the e-board, and I'm recommending that. That's other funds. There are no general funds involved. I believe those are FEMA funds that flow through the Emergency Management Division to here, and that's why they're categorized as other funds, even though originally they're federal funds.
And the agency is shaking their head yes.
Oh,
for the benefit of the mic.
Okay.
Andrew Yee.
What is chemical stockpile?
Again, the agency can correct me if I'm not remembering my November issue correct, right? But I think that this was the health division's role in some health-related training related to the elimination of the chemical stockpile in Umatilla. This was some safety-related training associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
The next issue is a fund shift that took place in the November Emergency Board that resulted from a sizable increase in federal funds coming directly to the division for the family planning program. And it results in a reduction of other funds. These other funds they don't materialize because they would have come through in the form of Medicaid dollars that would have, because they were flowing through OMAP, they would have come through to the health division as an other funds limitation. But the federal dollars are not coming in that route. They're coming directly to the agency. So they have the increase in federal funds limitation, and the net increase in dollars that they will get is the $16.8 million. And that's recommended as a carryover of that item that was approved in the November Emergency Board. The next item is relates to the 9901 full rate for desktop support, which was a package that you approved in the governor's recommended budget for the director's office. You approved it at a modified level, however, and this reduction of $240,690 of general funds reflects the reduction that you made in that package in the director's office budget. So I recommend it at that reduced level.
Okay. So this is something, just so you understand, that we've already done in the director's.
Yes, this is simply carrying over. You haven't seen these reductions in the other work sessions you've done because you did those before the director's office was done. And if you'll remember, when we did those work sessions, we mentioned all the time that ultimately there would be reductions coming through related to those packages. And so the other divisions, you'll see those reductions when we pull this all together in the final for the final work session. And then the last item in those, the enhancements, was simply the PERS rate prorate adjustment that is really a current service level issue that I mentioned earlier. And so those are the four recommended.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're on, so the chair would move number four, package 090 enhancements, the four bullets just iterated to us by Peggy Archer. Is there a discussion? Objection. Hearing and seeing that, the enhancements in package 090 are passed.
In number five, we move into a number of policy packages in this division. I've lumped as many of them that are related as possible together. Throughout the division or units in the budget, there was a policy package related to position reclassifications and the shifting of positions among the fund sources so that they are more appropriately aligned with the responsibilities of the position. And those are packages 115, 135, 145, 165, and 175. And I've tried, although I may have failed, but I think I've tried on each of the background spreadsheets to give you the page number in the event that you want to later on look up those pages and read the specifics of what those reclassifications and fund shifts are. There are a lot of them, so there were too many to detail on the top spreadsheet or on the bottom one, for that matter, but I did reference the page numbers in the budget. And this is recommended. The net result is a savings of general fund dollars of $1,761. There is an increase of one FTE. There's no position increase, but in that whole mix of reclassifications and position alignments, there was a request to increase two half-time FTE to full-time, and so that would increase FTE, although there are no additional positions. That package, set of packages, is recommended. And you may, Madam Chair, want to deal with these packages on an individual basis.
Okay,
the policy.
That's what I was thinking. Are there any questions or discussion on this policy? Packages 115, 135, 145, 165, and 175. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, those packages pass.
This next package is sort of, I probably should have put it in there. It's the package that really belongs up in the current service level issues. It was a fund shift that the governor did not approve. The agency had requested backfilling general fund for the loss of, I believe this was federal funds, and the governor didn't approve it, and it should have been up in the current service level as a fund shift issue or actually a revenue reduction issue, but it was placed in a policy package, and since it was, there is a an approval necessary for removing this money and this half of an FTE.
Okay, so Madam Chair,
Representative,
was this $92,000 then actually included in the governor's recommended budget, or was it just floating?
It was included in the governor's recommended budget as a negative. This is his recommendation.
Okay, so we're just confirming his.
We're just confirming that because it wasn't a policy change.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes. Further discussion? The chair would move then we accept LFO's recommendation just to show this as it is, package 120, a reduction of $92,759 and elimination of a half 0.50 FTE. Discussion?
Oh, Madam Chair. What is fuel prevalence study?
I think I can even answer this. I think that this is where you discover in blood tests that are taken for some other purpose, such as diabetes, you discover that there is HIV present, and it is the accumulation of that data.
I thought it had been a misspelling.
Well, I can promise you that spell check thinks it's a misspelling.
Oh, right. If you add it to your word. Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none. Package 120 as recommended.
Package 121 uses general fund to backfill the loss of unrelated other funds revenue that supported communicable disease testing in the public health laboratory. This is a policy package that uses general fund to backfill the loss of fee revenue. The history of this particular package is that it has been in the distant past a general fund supported mandatory statutory function of the health division. After Measure 5 and during a time of general fund reductions, in order to continue the program without the use of general fund, there was an increase in an unrelated fee beyond the need of that fee program to use those fee monies, and those monies were, this was a legislative direction, were directed then to the public health communicable disease testing program. In the meantime, a decade almost has gone by, or at least getting dangerously close to a decade has gone by, and that fee program needs the fee revenue. The fee revenue is at its statutory limit. It can't be raised to divert it anymore, and so there is a need to backfill the loss of that revenue with general funds. The fee revenue, which happens to be newborn screening fees, would continue to fund about $1 million of the program for the current biennium. So this will be an issue again next biennium because as the newborn screening program continues to need more of its own fee revenue, it will become more of a problem for the communicable disease lab testing function. And so this is an issue that undoubtedly will come up again next biennium.
I'm just wondering if I can ask, Eleanor, do you think there will be a way that you can address this through some other, is there some other way that we can collect some revenue for this other than the newborn screening, or will this continue to be maybe a general fund issue, or? Is there a plan by the division maybe to think of a way to have some kind of a fee for something else that's related, actually?
Mm-hmm. Chair Kutub, for the record, my name is Eleanor Hall. I'm the administrator of the Health Division. And the Health Division has tried very hard to make the lab as entrepreneurial as possible and to reduce the amount of general fund that's used in the lab. And, in fact, the amount of general fund has gone down steadily in the lab for a number of years. And there are opportunities for us to reduce labor costs by having new machinery that's more efficient. Sometimes there's new methodologies that allow tests to be done in a community instantly that used to take elaborate requirements. So I do believe it is not certain that we will have to have more general fund money to continue communicable disease testing, and we will do everything we can to avoid that. We have a number of contracts from other states to do their newborn screening tests, and where we can, we use any extra money to subsidize services for Oregonians. So we have hopes that we will not be needing a great deal more money, but in this case, this was one of the things that we had tried very hard to find alternate ways of funding, and we were really faced with cutting the services if we did not have the general fund support.
Okay. I understand this time. I'm just wondering, yeah, for future.
Well, we,
you know,
take the message
digging, so.
I suspect the governor's going to ask us the same question next finding that you just asked us, and that is if there's some other way you can figure out how to finance this. Mm-hmm. So, as Eleanor said, we're going to continue to look to see whether there's we need a related fee so that people who pay the fee get something
right
from it.
Yeah.
But we're going to continue to look to see if there's a related fee source, because I know the governor will ask us to be looking at the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Yee.
Eleanor, do you charge more for out-of-state service?
The out-of-state rates vary. We always charge at least our cost and perhaps more than our cost. But since the Oregon fees have supported unrelated communicable disease testing, as we're just discussing, in some cases the Oregon fees are higher than the out-of-state fees, because the Oregon fees are higher than our cost for doing newborn screening,
mm-hmm,
so that they can support communicable disease testing at the rate of $1 million a biennium.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but we never subsidize out-of-state people. We only take out-of-state if it benefits people in Oregon.
How do you take out-of-state service when it benefits Oregon?
We bid on their contracts. So, for instance, the state of Hawaii put out an RFP and said, which state would do our, who would do our newborn screening and how much would you do it for? So we responded to the RFP and we were the best price. And so we had to compete in the marketplace to be able to do this. But that helps to support our highly skilled staff and use our machines. And we keep some overhead that supports our laboratory director and our quality assurance program. So it does benefit us by making our lab more of a efficient and have a better business plan.
Madam Chair, I just thought maybe we can charge more to other states, since
we do try.
They don't pay taxes to support you. Oh, but you can't because you compete.
Yeah, they're paying for the service,
mm-hmm,
so it's not like they're getting it free, and that's the entrepreneurial part of it, is go out and ask for, you know, a place to do the work for other people.
Mm-hmm.
If we lost these contracts, we would have holes in our overhead and our rent and our some of our services, like our quality assurance program, that are supported in part by our out-of-state contracts. So they do benefit us, but we also have to be in competition. We can't just name our price or we won't get the bid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The chair would move then. Okay. I don't know if I did that. Did I move package 121 as recommended by LFO for other funds revenue for the public health laboratory in the amount of $453,313?
No, it's general fund.
I'm sorry. I was reading that.
Yeah. It replaces other funds.
Replaces other funds. So this would be general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion. Any objections? Hearing and seeing that, package 121.
Package 122 is related to a bill that you considered yesterday, House Bill 2177, which was the bill that allowed the department to establish the National Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program. I'm recommending approval of the package with a slight reduction of $6,810. This is an other funds function. Supported with fee revenue. The reduction reflects a reduction in some property expenditures that they had expected to make. I believe it was desks primarily that we thought they could find a better price on. So.
Okay. The chair would move package 122. This is what we dealt with yesterday. Is there discussion? Any objections? and that package is, it allows the Health Division, Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Agriculture to work collaboratively to administer the National Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program. This would be in the amount of $358,383 other funds. Hearing and seeing no objection, has passed.
The next package, Policy Package 130, is not recommended. This package was related to House Bill 2176, but that bill passed with none of the fees in it, or without the fee adjustments that were requested. And so without the fees, there you don't have the expenditure, the revenue, and then you don't have the expenditure. So this package is not needed. It is noted that the absence of this fee revenue will temporarily at least produce a federal funds limitation, or is likely to produce a shortfall in federal funds revenue. But that was a bill that was handled in substantive committee and had testimony and not approved. So there's no need to have the expenditure limitation.
Senator Shields?
Yes, Madam Chair, I was getting a little bit nervous when we started talking about our drinking water. What did this certification program do? And I mean, what's the consequences for all of us that like to drink water? I mean, are there any? Can anybody explain this a little more for me?
This was a bill that didn't pass in the substantive committee, and we don't have it in front of us, so we don't have an opportunity to vote for it. So I don't mind having the question answered, but we can't do anything about it.
We can't do anything about it.
No, we don't have the bill.
And terms of the Shields, it does not change existing practice in terms of certification. It simply does not heighten the current requirements.
I get concerned about water too. I don't want to use the Willamette River in Wilsonville either. So be real concerned if we have an opportunity to stop that. Okay, the chair would move package 130, the LFO recommendation, and that recommendation is not recommended. Is there a discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none. The non-recommended package 130.
The package 131 is the bill that you dealt with yesterday, House Bill 2174, that increases fees, that would have increased fees to fully fund the pool and spa inspection program. This recommendation is to reduce the expenditure limitation in package 131 by $48,044 because the fees that were requested in House Bill 2174 were not approved by the substantive committee, and therefore the revenue would not be there to cover all the expenditures. This does produce a hole in the agency's budget of approximately $48,000 because they are required to conduct these inspections, but they will be short the revenue to do that, and so there isn't any need for the expenditure limitation at this point.
Mr. Wee, I want to make a comment.
Madam Chair, yeah, I do. I know you had an extended discussion about the e-bill yesterday, and I think we all wish we would have done some things different before we got the bill to you, and we didn't. So now we're left trying to figure out how do we run a pool inspection program in generally the rural parts of the state. This is the most expensive place to run a pool inspection program, and do it with $48,000 less. So we're going to try to do that. But what I'd like to have an understanding with the committee is that if we're unable to, through rebalance efforts, try to figure out how to provide enough money to do this, have an understanding that we would come before the emergency board and describe our problem to the emergency board and give the emergency board an opportunity to consider this once again. Now, they couldn't raise the licensing charges, but they could appropriate general fund to help us offset the costs for the balance of the biennium And in the interim, I mean, we're going to begin in earnest right away to work with the special districts and the Hotel Association to try to get the agreement that we should have had in place yesterday. And so if we are not able to rebalance this and need to make a presentation to the emergency board, I would like to have the special districts and the Hotel Motel Association and others in cooperation with us coming before the emergency board. So.
I guess I would elicit any comments from the committee on that, as allowing the health division to come before the emergency board with a request like that. I just want to get the feel of the committee on this issue. Representative Strobeck.
Madam Chair, I was one who supported the action that we took yesterday, but I have seen the additional details that Gary provided, and given the costs associated with inspecting these pools and the very low amount that they're getting for the fee for the inspection, I think that's a reasonable request.
Mm-hmm. I was given some further information too just before the committee about the costs and what other counties are able to charge. My own included, for these inspections, and they're in pretty accessible areas, and the health division does have to go to rural parts of the state and only charge $100 for these inspections. So as a chair, I would be very amenable to them coming back to the emergency board with some sort of a, they have a plan. Do you have any way to state that?
Yes, Madam Chair, I can make sure that is not a budget note in itself, but that is made very plain in the narrative of the budget report, that this was considered and that it was discussed and that the subcommittee was aware that the agency may return to the emergency board.
Madam Chair, we will make an earnest effort to try to do this and rebalance. And if we can do it and rebalance, I don't want to have to ask the emergency board for anything. So that would be our first effort.
Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, and I would just also add, just for the record, that I would expect the dialogue with the Lodging Association Special Districts to continue with the discussion we talked about yesterday, to come back with a new revised fee schedule recommendation for the next session.
Madam Chair, Representative Strobeck, absolutely. We would not come before the emergency board without that conversation having occurred.
Mm-hmm. And then I just follow up with that by saying that once you reach an agreement, then these individuals or entities, if the fee increase amounts to about the same that it looked like in the bill originally, that they're going to have to come and tell legislators that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like a very large increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have the data given to us, and the parties that are involved in the talks and negotiations for it are in agreement, then I don't think there will be reluctance. But without information, it might look like a real big hike.
Madam Chair, I think this lays the groundwork for us to do the actual fee increase in the next binding too. So we'll actually be able to kind of do double duty by having these conversations right now.
Okay. Well, Representative Ross.
Madam Chair, I'm really happy to have the department taking a vigorous approach to this problem, because I was just not real comfortable yesterday leaving and saying, well, we were going to just do the very minimum in terms of inspections out in these rural areas. They are rural. There are fewer pools. There are fewer motels. But at the same time, the patrons in those areas are assuming that these locations are safe. And so I'm really happy to have the department be working hard on this problem. And I'm pleased that they're not just saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The chair would move then that we accept the LFO's recommendation on package 130. And she will make note in the budget of what we have used. 131. Discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, 131 is passed.
The next package is package 140, which would continue
7 school-based centers that previously had been funded with federal grants and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation funds. The governor's budget had backfilled the loss of those funds with general funds, and that package is not recommended, primarily due to constraints on the general fund available.
Okay. Okay. Representative Ross.
This is one that I'm very sorry to see it doing. I understand the reluctance to fill back any kind of grant, because when it runs out, then we're expected to pick up the pieces, and I understand that totally. At the same time, I've been particularly impressed with the quality of the services in these school-based clinics, especially in the rural area. And during testimony, we had testimony from Senator Nelson's area, from Pendleton, and that clinic serves a lot of Native Americans. And I had a chance to hear an expanded description of their work and their careful work in funneling youth and families into our regular health care system and getting people started. So I can't support this particular package, although I understand the need to do it.
Okay, I appreciate that, which means we need to take just a short recess.
Madam Chair, yes, actually, we go ahead. We could go ahead and skip over that.
Okay,
if you want to, for the time being.
Maybe Representative Loken will be back while I'm making my comment.
Good, good. I'm sorry, I didn't make that long.
No, I didn't make it that long being a preacher, but I don't think it will. I have a concern, and that has to do with when. Well, for starters, I share Representative Ross's concerns, but I also have a thought about what happens when we make the decisions related to getting a foundation grant, like a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant. Do we, when we make those, intimate that we will try to continue a program started by a grant like this? I mean, I know that in a different world with the Collins Foundation, which I've had some dealings with, that you always have kind of in your church or whoever would make an application of that foundation, you always have to say, we're going to start such and such a thing with the foundation money, but we're going to make every attempt possible to continue it. Are we in some ways reneging on at least an intent, if not a deal? Can you explain that on that at all?
Chuck, you have been committee members. The Robert Wood Johnson grant was especially focused on helping school-based health centers be able to recoup money through health insurance. One of the goals was to demonstrate to ourselves and to other parts of the country how school-based health centers can exist in an atmosphere with a lot of managed care, which Oregon has. And we indeed did that with these special demonstration grants. We were able to bill Medicaid, the Oregon Health Plan. We entered into some agreements with Blue Cross. So we fulfilled the requirements of the grant to try to work on how to bill insurance. And we did not promise Robert Wood Johnson that the state would pick up the funds. The school-based health centers are somewhat more self-supporting than they were before we had this project and this grant. But they are getting almost three-quarters of their funds from their county health departments, from their local hospitals and schools, so they're asking the state to be a quarter partner in the process on an ongoing basis.
Well, I know, Senator Shields, when we had the grant that the Commission for Children and Families came to us about, that grant actually had with it sort of the idea and the condition that we'd be able to show that there will be continued funding for it. I think I'm remembering right.
Maybe, Madam Chair, but we do not.
But this one, yeah.
We do not pledge for any grants will
right, right.
continue beyond the grant, because we can't make that commitment for you.
And right, and in this children and families one, it actually seemed like the counties were going to have to show how they would be able to fund that in the future. And so I understand what you're saying, but we are warned on a continual basis, I think, in the emergency board, when during the interim the agencies come forward with grants, that this is, you know, a one-time grant, and we're not saying that we are going to continue to fund it by accepting the grant. Often that happens, and now we're being asked to do that, but I don't believe it's a condition that we mandatorily do that.
If I might follow up, Madam Chair, I know that the question goes far beyond just this length, but will we arrive at a time where grant funds generally will diminish for state operations because there's so many of these, and I think granting organizations want to use their money as seed money wherever possible, and we may find a diminishing of grant funds to state operations generally because we're generally saying, no, we're not going to be seed money. We'll do it, but we won't promise anything. You know, I'm just wondering if overall we won't see a diminishment of grant money generally.
As long as we have good grant writers, I'll bet we won't.
I'm sure it's in a shield, but I would be surprised if there are very many states that would pledge to pick up the cost of a grant after it's over. And I know the grantors, in many cases, would like to see it continue, but we're pretty honest. I just met with RWJ this morning on a really interesting grant project that would meld Medicare and Medicaid together in long-term care, which has a lot of potential for developing a program that saves dollars and increases services. And I think we're a prime state for that grant, but we make no pledge. And the grantor understands that. So I don't think we run the risk of losing the attention of grantors by having a policy that says we cannot find any future legislature. So.
Okay. Madam Chair,
can
I have a question for Ellis Lowen? I'm sorry, I have to go out to someone there, but does Package 140 then say that these school-based health centers will not continue? Is that because the grant is over? It's my understanding that they may or may not continue. They have county funding,
mm-hmm.
and they have other sources of funding, but I don't know whether they would necessarily go away. They would probably have to seek another source of funding to backfill it, but they were going to operate at the same level. And there is the other existing school clinics
mm-hmm.
still in the budget.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's about $1.6 million still left in the budget for school clinics.
Okay. I'm curious if Clackamas County was one of these that participated in this school-based health centers.
But I think Ms. Hall wanted to respond to whether the clinics would go away or not.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Jesse Tubb and committee members. The Robert Wood Johnson grant does go into the year 2000. So the school-based health centers probably would be able to stay open most of, I don't know whether they would choose to begin in September and then close them in the middle of the school year, or whether they would have enough money to get through one more school year or not.
Mm-hmm.
The centers that are in question are in Josephine, two in Umatilla, two in Jackson, and two in Multnomah.
Representative Strobeck, do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Are there any efforts being made to apply for additional grants, either with Robert Wood Johnson or with other foundations to continue these particular clinics?
Representative Strobeck, I know that the school-based health centers are aware that the state may not have funding for them. I think they would be in the best position to get that funding.
Yeah.
We certainly could talk to Robert Wood Johnson about whether there would be any extension, but it was clearly a three-year grant that's coming to the end. And the grant was made to us, as I said earlier, not purely to operate the service and serve students, but to demonstrate how we could work with managed care. So I don't believe that Robert Wood Johnson is open to an extension at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madam Chair, I would just observe that I'm I share Representative Ross's concern about this, the fact that, it is a program that would be disappearing. But I do think that it is an unfair expectation to have a grant writer or to have the legislature assume that once a program is started by grant funds, that then there's an implicit obligation that we then have to start writing a check for it once the grant runs out. So I do think that needs to be a decision that is made on the basis of the merit of the program, not just on the basis of continuing a grant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
I do believe that in some of the counties they will locate funding to make up for this other forced funding. I know particularly Multnomah County, I think, is working hard on that. So that may not. I'm more concerned about the ones in the poorer counties where they have less capacity. Umatilla and Josephine County, those counties would have a harder time.
Maybe we can,
of course,
we can increase the swimming pool fees.
Right. Or build a prison in Umatilla, and then they'd have all the money at the county level to be able to to fund that school-based clinic. They'd also have more students. And there you go. Okie-dokie. You forgot me, too. I see my water. The chair would move package, the recommended which is a non-recommendation for package 140. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Senator Shields and Representative Ross object, but that is a required number.
Package 160 is a package in the administrative office of the Health Division that adds one position in the mail center due to an increased workload. This is an other funded position from mail fees and assessments. The mail room, I understand, is used by other than Health Division agencies as well, and so there is some revenue there to cover the cost of the position, and it is recommended due to workload issues.
Chair would move package 160, LFO's recommendation for one FTE in the amount of $59,476. This is other funds, correct?
Yes.
Their discussion. Objection? Hearing and seeing none, package 160 is passed.
And then the last package is a package that actually appeared in the director's office budget by as part of that technical adjustment that was made where some of the original packages that the governor cut, he restored, and that package 450 in the director's office. And in addition to those, he added $70,000 of general fund money for the Office of Multicultural Health, and that is not recommended for essentially the same reasons that the package 140 was not recommended, that it is an increase in other funds, I mean, general fund expenditure beyond the current service level.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Senator Shields.
I can't keep trying to move from one chamber to another.
Sorry.
On the front page, under the package 3, I didn't raise complaints because it says there under the fourth bullet under 3, temporary reduction of HIV AIDS program, $475,000, and then it says restored in package 450, and you said you were going to comment about it later. And now I see package 450 with no reference to that. $475,000. I'm probably confused, but can you explain why this package appears twice and it doesn't come back? It's not restored like that.
Okay, the package 450, the $475,000 that was mentioned earlier is not related to this $70,000. The $70,000 is something that also appeared in that package 450, but the reduction in of the $450,000 of temporary reduction.
Is that somewhere else? And
well, it should be if it isn't. Let me see.
I'm just.
You may have. Actually, it should have been listed here. So I apologize for that. Because it is
it is part of the governor's budget now.
Okay, so what does this mean?
That you can make a motion that it be restored. Actually, it should have been restored in the reshoot under item number 2. I apologize for that.
Okay, so now I'm even more confused.
Okay, let me tell you. The governor's budget was put together for the health division, and the governor had eliminated 3 programs that appear on the spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet document does have the restoration.
Okay, where do we find it?
If you go on the front part of the front spreadsheet about midway down through the governor's reductions and enhancements,
right.
There is a package that says cut general fund for HIV client services, package 090, $100,000.
Right.
And then there is eliminate AIDS hotline, $134,000.
Right.
And then there is reduced HIV serial positive wellness,
$241,000.
and if you total both together, that's $475,000. And then on the next line, it says restore HIV AIDS program, and there's an addition of $475,000.
Okay.
And that's the one I failed to get on my bullet sheet here.
So that should have been with this $70,000, or
that should have been part really of item number 2.
I'm
so you would want to vote on the restoration of that $475,000.
You said we needed to make a motion?
You can do that because I've been making motions on individual things here, so that would be inappropriate.
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to make that motion if that's in order.
But we're not going to amend. It really is not in this one. On the second page, it's in this one. That's where it should be. It's not in 450, which is what we're in.
It could have been up here in number 2.
Okay.
And issues that the governor restored.
So why don't we, Senator, why don't you make a motion then to include that restoration in item number 2 of the revised governor's budget? Or would it be better to just make an out-and-out motion that this technical change under reductions and
that's on page 1?
Yeah, over here. That this line item on the page here of restoring the HIV AIDS program for $475,000, the technical adjustment be approved.
All right, I'll move that, but it's supposed to appear under item number 2 on the first page, right?
That's where I'll place it. It could appear anywhere in here, but that's where I'll, if I had to.
Since I wouldn't want to be challenged to repeat everything she said, so moved.
Okay, Senator Shields has moved that we restore the HIV AIDS program in the amount of $475,000 under the governor's enhancements, and it will be placed in the governor's revised budget and rebalance. Is there a discussion?
So under bullet 3, we're going to add bullet 3.
2. Oh, we're going to add a third bullet. Well, no, it'll be under bullet 1.
No. And actually, excuse me, I'm sure I can explain why. I should have had it listed on this page, but I thought of that as a current service level issue since it was a temporarily reduced program. So the motion is still in order, though.
Mm-hmm. But there's no bullet 3. It's under bullet 2.
It's
not on the bullets at all. It's
on number 2.
Not there. And she's saying, do we need
it? It would have been in the current.
You
can't see it because it's in the current service level. But you can. But that's okay.
You want to buy a bullet? No.
It would be on this package here. So I will put it. I will put it under number 2 so it can be seen.
Okay.
Here.
Add a third bullet there. For the discussion. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, the new bullet on item number 1, adding the technical change of $435,000 to the AIDS HIV program has passed.
I heard the new number 2.
What did I say?
You said 1.
2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2. 2 I have made a motion for package 450. So I'm going to go back to that motion. We probably didn't do this parliamentarily correctly. So I will restate my motion. Package 450 in the director's office, not recommending, accepting LFO's recommendation, and that is not, that is reducing 70,000 general fund. It's not reducing. It's not accepting the enhancement.
No. I have a question, and this is just a small one, but we're, what does this Office of Multicultural Health do? I mean, is this even more important with Kosovar refugees coming and stuff like that, or can you tell me a little bit about the idea behind this $70,000 enhancement?
Chair Kutub and committee members, the Office of Multicultural Health works to try to reduce the very poor health outcomes that many people in the minority community suffer. They have higher rates of death from chronic diseases like heart disease and diabetes, higher rates of accidents and injuries, more infant mortality, lower immunization rates. The office tries to improve the health outcomes by making connections between communities and the health division programs, and helping our programs do training to be more better at reaching these communities. We do training with the counties. We've provided training and support to the healthcare system. It's a very small office with two staff people in it. Recently, there are some new activities for the office that revolve around the new Racial and Ethnic Health Task Force, which is being started as part of the Oregon Health Council. So similarly, they are trying to improve the health of communities which have some of the poorest health in the state. And this was an attempt to make make us better able to reach all the different communities and people in Oregon and do a better job of that. It was an enhancement of our existing small office. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair.
Oh,
I just want to say, Madam Chair, with respect to everybody on the committee, I have a feeling that we probably would save far more than $70,000 by spending that $70,000 if it really has positive effect on minority health. So I'd just like to urge you to reconsider.
Madam Chair, my question to Ms. Hall is, can they still go to the county health department if they have health problems?
Senator Hutab and committee members, yes, this would not affect them going to the county health department. But sometimes when people go to the county health department, if they don't speak English or they don't know about the county health department, this office could help make their service more effective when they get there. But it's not a direct service in terms of directly having hands-on medical care. So in that way, it doesn't affect whether the county health departments are open or not.
There is an existing office. This is an enhancement. Looks like to me it's about $485,395 currently in general fund.
Oh, so we're just not approving the
enhancement.
I see.
And others for all of them?
Okay, total. These are other funds. There's no general fund in it.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
But there are other funds.
This is other funds. $485,395. So we are not approving an enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Senator George, did you have a question?
Sure.
I thought you did. Okay. Is there objection? Senator Shields. Okay. Having the sufficient number package 450 recommendation passes.
Madam Chair, in addition to the recommendations associated with packages in the budget, there are listed following some other recommendations. One happens to be a reversal of the package 450 that we just did, and that is a reduction, elimination of general fund support for the AIDS hotline. These next three items are items that were, this item is one of the items that was listed in a list of potential reductions submitted by the agency. And the way they stated the reduction was eliminate the AIDS hotline. The agency does have, I believe it's in the area around $14 million in federal AIDS money, and I understand that there are restrictions on federal dollars and that many of those dollars may not qualify for use for the AIDS hotline, but it would seem that within that amount there would be some flexibility perhaps to continue the hotline if that is the high priority if that rises to the top of the priorities for any discretionary federal dollars they may have. And so I'm recommending a shift away from general fund use for that purpose.
Chuck, Kevin, committee members, about $10,000 a year. So it's about $800 a month. And it is staffed by volunteers. The state money trains the volunteers and schedules it and pays for the 1-800 line and for the advertising that appears in every phone book in the state.
So that's part of what the $134,000 goes for, is advertising and organizing.
Well, see it in the yellow pages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Representative Brown.
Ellie, do you believe that you will be able to continue the hotline through adjustment and use of federal funds?
I haven't had a chance to entirely study that, but it is quite true that many of our federal funds are restricted for direct services to people who are HIV positive or for buying pharmaceuticals for people who need that to stay alive. So we would have to look at the prevention and education funds that exist at the state level, which are a much smaller pot than the total amount. Most of those education and prevention funds now go to the counties where they do more direct outreach and testing and anonymous testing. So we have a community planning process that we would involve in where we would make the cut. And the reason this has been back and forth and in and out of the budget is because it was identified as perhaps, I hate to say this, the thing that we would cut if we had to cut general fund into HIV. Mm-hmm. We have about $800,000 of general fund in HIV, and the way I would take this is we will cut that by 134 and do the least important thing that we could prioritize.
Thank you.
There's no further discussion.
Do we need to worry about maintenance of efforts in this program?
No. The chair would move that we shift funding for AIDS hotline from general to other or federal and reduce the general fund by $134,000. Any further discussion? Objection? Hearing us being unshift.
The next recommendation is an additional recommendation to the agency's operating budget. I was able to review the administrative costs at the unit level, and this simply is a 4% reduction of their administrative costs. This is in addition to reductions that the governor made. However, his reductions were unspecified S&S reductions that could come, that the agency could prioritize whatever it was they were going to cut, and this is a targeted administrative cut.
The chair would move that the reduction of administrative costs in the amount of general fund $131,359 be accepted. Is there discussion? Any objection? Seeing none.
The next recommendation is to reduce general fund by $74,825 and 0.65 FTE as a result of eliminating microbiological testing of surface waters for the Department of Environmental Quality. And it's the assumption that if the Department of Environmental Quality wished to seek those services, that they would pay for them.
Okay. The chair would move that we eliminate the microbiological testing of surface waters for DEQ in the amount of $74,825 and 0.65 FTE. This is a reduction of general fund. Is there a discussion?
DEQ?
Yes.
DEQ, in case you're going to pick that up, or are you going to pay? Because I know this budget is potentially higher.
I don't know. I don't know about DEQ's budget, but what we're saying here is that DEQ needs to pay for their services.
Madam Chair and Senator George, the analyst for the in our office for the Department of Environmental Quality is aware of the change and I'm sure we'll either address it or recommend not addressing it in their budget consideration.
Is there any objection?
Does that mean it's going to be picked up by other funds?
In this particular budget, they theoretically could need some other fund limitation if DEQ came and purchased the services. But I think that I would not recommend adding another fund limitation at this time because they don't know what DEQ's response will be. So they can either address that in a rebalance issue when they come forward if they need the additional other fund limitation later on when they find out how the DEQ responds. They could take care of that at a later time. If they need the limitation, they might be able to absorb it within their existing limitation of lab work.
And they're in form of this elimination.
Mr. Rocco in our office is aware of it, and so when he does the analysis on the DEQ budget, he will keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any objection? Mm-hmm. Hearing and seeing them, that elimination passed.
And the next recommendation is the elimination of $2,592 in attorney general costs. This is due to the change in the rate, hourly rate. The department doesn't have a very large AG budget, but this would reflect 2.6% reduction.
The chair would move that we reduce the attorney general costs by $2,592. Is there a discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none.
The next little item there says eliminate 8 long-term vacant positions that currently have a value of 3.98 FTE. This is what I mentioned earlier when I said that I was recommending that the phased-in positions November rebalance and so forth be limited duration. The agency has a significant pool of long-term vacant positions that they use primarily to support the reclassification of positions. They have a very diverse workforce. They're not like many of the Department of Human Resources agencies where they have large numbers of caseworker ones or hundreds of people in the same classification. They have a wide variety in the grants that they receive in terms of the kinds of jobs that people have, and so they have a very heavy incidence of reclassifications of existing positions to target them into the new areas that are the area of the topic of the month or the topic of the next 3 years, I guess would be more like it. These seem to be about 3-year projects mostly. But they have probably too many of these positions. Before recommending the continuation of the 11 positions that were coming in and the 0.85 and the 8.88 less 5.1 FTE, I asked recommend that you eliminate 8 of their current vacant positions. And then accompanying that recommendation is a proposed budget note that you can see on number 8. I should have put that recommendation right in front of number 8, but
didn't. That budget note would read, the subcommittee directed the Health Division to include in its first 1999-01 interim budget rebalance plan a report on the status of its long-term, meaning 7 months or more, vacant positions. And the division is to incorporate into the rebalance plan the abolishment of a minimum of 4 positions, in addition to the 8 that are abolished in the recommended budget. And that is so that there, in terms of those carry forward of the 11 positions, there would be no net increase in the positions. And obviously they're encouraged to abolish more, and if possible, and we'll be reviewing that carefully when they bring it forward to make sure. And the agency has made a commitment that they will attempt to expedite and take care of the rebalances that are in, I mean, not rebalances, reclassifications that are in process, and try to get a grip on that situation.
Okay. Are there questions? The chair would recommend then that we eliminate 8 long-term vacant positions amounting in 3.98 FTE, and along with that, adopt the proposed budget note number 8. Is there a discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, that has passed.
And then finally, Madam Chair and members of the committee, there was a lot of testimony during the hearing on the Health Division concerning the absence education program. There was testimony about STARS, and then there were other people to testify about other abstinence-only education, sex education programs. And so just for the, because this was an issue, I have put as number 7 the option that the committee may want to consider using a portion of the general fund currently in the budget and the related matching dollars, the federal dollars, there are 4 federal dollars for every $1 of state money that's currently devoted entirely to the STARS absence education program. And
this says $3, and you said $1.
Three to four. Excuse me. There are $3, $4 of state, of federal money for every 3 of state.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a mystery.
No. I'm just leaving you all kinds of options to catch me on it.
Making sure I'm staying awake.
Yeah.
This is anal session.
Anyway, these would be these monies, if you chose to do this at whatever level you chose to do it, the recommendation would be that you would take those alternative absence-only program dollars and appropriate them to the emergency board rather than to the agency. And then the agency would come to the emergency board for consideration of release of those funds when they and describe their selection process and how they have, who and how they have selected for the alternative program.
And what I would like to suggest, because we did have hearings and there are some very effective abstinence-only programs out there that actually have a good track record. And so I would like to suggest that there are approximately $302,000 of abstinence education monies. And I would like to suggest we take $151,000 of those for these alternate programs. With that would come the federal matching funds of about $200,000, amounting to about $350,000 for the alternate programs. The STARS program then would be left with $151,000, the matching $200,000 of federal funds, and they also have about $198,000, I believe it is, of foundation funds that are donations to the STARS program. And so what we would do then would be to allocate for the emergency board the $350,000. Do we do this whole or just the general?
No, Madam Chair, you would only allocate to the emergency board the general fund dollars. You would request that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the federal funds dollars.
Okay. So that would be my proposal. Is there a discussion?
Let me just make clear on your proposal. Would just sort of cut the program in half? Would it be half of the program that you'd be putting into the alternate program?
It would be half of the available general fund, what is available, right, currently available for this abstinence education programs and designated for STARS.
And so if we did that, maybe I could ask staff, what would be the effect on the existing STARS programs that are, in fact, up and running?
Madam Chair, just to very quickly interject, the amount of money left for STARS would be about $1.2 million total funds.
Okay.
So it's not in half. Okay.
$1.2
So this would be about a
fourth. The total budget for STARS right now let me put it this way. I'm incorporating the administrative costs in there, which I shouldn't do. Because the total budget is about $1.6 million. So what would be left for STARS would be around $500,000 of the pass-through payment.
Okay. And so this would be about $500,000 going to county?
Yes, and that would be a
cost. The school district,
whomever the contractors. And the reason it's more is because they have a couple of about $199,000
in
foundation dollars.
Right. And so it's actually taking half of the federal dollars and the general fund. So about that, is that
it? It's not taking quite half of the federal dollars because some of those federal dollars are matched by foundation dollars. But it would be taking it would be unscheduling, and we'll have to get the precise amounts.
Mm-hmm.
It would be unscheduling the federal dollars that are related to the general fund dollars that you'd be setting aside.
Okay.
And my calculations are the federal dollars would be in the area of about $200,000 to $201,000. So it would be about $350,000 for the non-STARS program. And so the rest of the federal dollars would remain with the STARS program.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to further comment to the committee. If you were, I don't believe you were.
Okay.
Were you okay? Mm-hmm. What we do know is these programs have been successful. They have operated. They are not new programs that never existed, even though an RFP could be written for those. But I would, I would suggest that somebody who's had a program that's been successful in a school would be looked at a little bit more closely than some brand new program that's up and running. Not only that, they actually operate for less money than the STARS program. There's less cost to those. So we might actually get more bang for our buck through these RFPs. And so the testimony was very convincing to me, and I am interested in spreading this out among groups. Senator George?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Being new here, I'm allowed to ask these kind of questions. Is the STARS program a franchise? I mean, are fees being paid to somebody who owns the STARS logos?
Sir, CTAB and committee members, no, it is not. The program is copyrighted, but we have permission to use it with no charge. So the logos were developed by a donation, and we haven't paid any, we don't pay.
We don't pay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask Kelly, what would happen with the Crescent STARS program with the Seneca? I mean,
mm-hmm.
What would the flesh and blood effect be?
Well, Trustee Tubb and committee members, it depends on how we implemented the cut. If we have many schools now that are planning to operate STARS next year, if we told them they all got half as much money, I think we would be left with a very weakened program that in many cases would not perform adequately. I would suggest we tell communities that they would not get and keep the adequate funding for half the STARS, the appropriate amount, which I calculate to be just a little less than half, to actually say those programs would not exist and that some other programs could be applied for rather than try to thin the STARS budget and still keep it serving 30,000 students. I don't think we could serve the same number of students in STARS with half as much of the STARS money. I think this would be a difficult decision to figure out which communities we would tell would not have the STARS program. Currently, we do have four counties where STARS has not particularly been sought. So Lane County, Hood River, Wallawa, and Baker County. And I feel like those are counties where we very well could do an RFP asking, is there an alternate program that someone in the community would want to run in those counties? And if we kept the same number of dollars for those counties as every other, as the other students get, it would be a way we could do this without damaging the existing STARS program. Otherwise, I would like some direction from the committee on where you would want us to take the existing STARS program out of the schools and where we should do bids, how you would want the bids done. I'm not saying it's a complicated problem.
I would suggest, Ellie, that my understanding from some of the testimony that I heard from the division was that STARS was expanding somewhat. You were making this available to more schools. I would suggest that some schools do not go with the STARS program, and you allow them to have somebody else come in and bid for the program. Because as I said, some of these other programs are successful. In Linn County is one of them, Linn or Lane, one of the two. In Multnomah County, we had testimony of a program that runs in Multnomah County as well. I think that you should tell the schools, even if they're interested in STARS, that there also is an opportunity if they would like to look at another program. They might get an entire program for half of the amount or whatever. I don't know what the RFP will be, but I do know that these other programs run with a whole lot less administration and training, and they don't have state employees that are paid to run the program, and so they might be able to run for a lesser amount. Rather than trying to cut every single STARS program in half, I would say let's allow these schools that an opportunity to either take STARS or some other program and have them actually look at what they would get with each program and what it would cost them, and not try to just half it and spread it all thin. Because essentially, we probably will be covering maybe even more students by doing what I'm suggesting that we do, since the other programs are able to run for less and still have success. So it is altogether possible that rather than eliminating students by this proposal, we'll actually be adding students. And
you're suggesting it would still be a school-based program, but that, and that STARS programs could bid, but that schools could also come forward with different programs. Is that?
I'm suggesting, I think you were here for the hearing. I'm suggesting that those programs that were existing, however they existed, whether they were through schools, you probably know better how they existed. I'm not actually sure if the school bid with them to actually carry out the program in a school, but they were in schools. So, however they did it before, have them do it again.
I think we're in agreement with you. We're just trying to make sure we understand the instruction on, because we don't want them to suit either.
Right.
I mean, that would not be good for either program. So we're going to have a certain amount of money available to RFP for absence-based programs. And those could operate in schools, and they could operate side by side with the STARS program. But what if the school said, we want both? Would you be inclined to have us tell a school you have to have one or the other, but you couldn't operate both? Because that question could come from some
in a district.
In a district, they would say they could have one. A school within a district, I would say, could choose another program. I don't want to make it tougher for you to have to administrate it, but
right, and we want to do it in the way that the committee. So when we come back here, we have a feeling that we did it the right way and stuff. So because there may be more schools that want a full blown STARS program than we can offer. So we'll have to make some choices, but I think we also want to offer them to say, look, we've got a complement of a number of programs that are absent state that have a track record.
Yes.
And you have these to pick from.
Yes. Representative, thank you, Madam Chair. That kind of says what I was thinking, I think, Gary, because I thought I'll give the schools a choice so that they can select from these programs, and then I don't know how you apportion the funding that way, but I believe that schools should be able to have a choice and decide whatever works best, or that they think works best for them.
Different communities might have it.
Yeah, we have different needs and wishes. I have a couple
of questions. One would be about the timeline. We have, if we did this, you know, and had these two pots of money, I'm assuming that the portion that was set aside for STARS would probably go with those programs that are currently up and running and established, and it's clear that they would be sort of ongoing programs. And then we take this expansion or people who are uncertain or whether they want to continue, and then give them a choice. So what would we do about the timeline? How would this fit for the overall program in terms of when they would apply and when they would plan for it?
Well, I think one of, I'm not sure we'd want to just assume that the current existing STARS program would stay there. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they may say, we like STARS, but we haven't seen the these flavors out here yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we want it. So I think the timeline, and I mean, Ellie can help me with this, but I suspect if we go down this road, we're going to have to get RFPs out right away and then certify or accept certain RFP programs. So if there's an array of programs that we've accepted based on their RFP, and then be able to show the schools, you know, these programs that have, we've accepted their RFP to serve in your district area, and we have this STARS program that exists, you'll have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that will have to be done, you know, within the next 2.5 months mm-hmm. before school starts.
Right. And school will be on July 1st. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, kind of the question I have is, it would be better for the program probably if we could reach an agreement with, you know, with you in the budget note or in the narrative about how this was going to be done that was acceptable, so that we wouldn't have this wait until the e-board, because we'd have a vacuum in time there that we wouldn't have.
Well, with the money is here, the idea is to come back and say, I mean, there's available money for STARS. It's not going to be with the e-board for the STARS program. That amount of money will be there, and anybody who wants to participate in the STARS program will be there. And so the other portion that's in the e-board, they would just come and tell us that what their selection process was and who they have. And
well, but that's it. Some schools have STARS that might like to choose another one, but they would have no opportunity to plan for next year if they, you know, it's just there's a lag time there between making your application and the time that the e-board would approve it. What do you think about us being able to agree on this between the chair and the department to get, because it sounds to me like the chair has a pretty clear idea about what she wants.
The emergency board schedule hasn't been set yet, but generally there is an emergency board in September, late August or September of the year following the sine-die board, which obviously is hopefully going to be too soon.
I'm sure we also need to remember that the school boards in many cases approves whether there's going to be a STARS program. So we have to time this so the school boards have a chance to act, and they sometimes depend on curriculum committees at the schools to bring a recommendation to the board, and then the board says, yes, we want STARS in our program, and that's what gives the school the authority to go ahead. So we have to stage it with the board's meeting on the screen, these other programs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Members Representative Office, correct. Whatever the program operates, the board generally has to give the authority for the school to actually operate it.
Well, I think, you know, school boards, as soon as we approve this at the subcommittee levels, the health division will know what it is that we're looking at and start gearing up to do exactly what we've asked, and people can be notified, so they are on notice to do this. And so I don't really see a problem with the timing. If we take action now to let people know this is happening.
Madam Chair. I think we might be too late to try to implement the other programs for this coming year, because the schools usually recruit the STARS program seniors near the end of the school year. So when the program is implemented, they can start in September or...
Well, Senator Yee, I disagree, because the other programs are ready to go. They have a curriculum. They have been operating. And if the seniors that were recruited to run STARS are recruited, they'll just be told we aren't going to do STARS, and we're going to do another program. I mean, I don't understand.
When do the other programs have a chance to apply? They won't apply to September then.
Yes, they will. They'll have to apply about July 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let them know. We'll let them know that there's money available to apply and get in their RFP.
So, for example, I introduced an abstinence program,
uh-huh.
The Best Friends,
uh-huh.
And Eleanor said very few schools seem to be interested, because this is a 8-year program,
uh-huh.
Starting from 4th grade through 12th grade, all the way through. So that is something that the schools have to apply,
uh-huh.
And if the school is out for the summer, they won't be able to apply until
November. The school board.
Except they do come back in August. The school administration.
We are wrestling with a time thing, and I mean, we want to do this, but we can't send an RFP after this bill is passed and becomes law. Okay? Then we can send the RFPs out. We got to go through the AG to get the RFPs approved, get them to the school. And I understand what you're saying. We can tell everybody, get ready. This is all coming. But there are certain steps that we've got to get through, and I want to do this. I want to do it well, and I don't want to come up to September and find we haven't gotten it done, or we have a delay. We could have just a delayed start, which is another option.
Well, and then what I would say is that we missed a whole school year, but essentially I would still recommend that we divide the funds in the way I've suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to... If we delay in the use of the other funds because we can't get it moving.
Well, we'd want it, Madam Chair, we'd want to move it as quickly as we could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may mean maybe the startup's not ready until middle of September or the 1st of October.
These programs, do these programs run for the entire school year?
You have different programs do have different schedules. Some of them try to train their team leaders early and have the program early. Some of them are still doing it this spring.
Mm-hmm.
But schools are planning now on who will be the adult facilitator and how much time they will have and whether they will have time away from their classes to do this. And one of the things that concerns me is the schools that would continue to do STARS,
mm-hmm.
would need to know that. So we
can. That's the one part they can know.
How would we decide?
By the amount of funds that you have. You're not going to probably not going to be able to fund all of the schools that want STARS.
Right.
When the money runs out, that's when STARS stops. And then the other schools will have to be said, you know what? There are some other programs. Let us tell you what they are. They've been accepted, and you can use those. But I don't see a problem with the STARS portion of it, because you know
what that funding is, and that's in your budget. You don't have to wait for anything.
And currently, we allocate that based on $9 per student per year in each district. So they're not going through an RFP process where I can say the money has run out and we've given it to the best schools or the most efficient schools. I would either have to say everybody gets $450, or I would have to say this county will be up for bid, and this county will be up for bid, and this one should do STARS. So
I
have to think through how we could make this work. And maybe there's some counties which would write off, say, we want to be able to propose something different.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would have, maybe the counties would force themselves out. But I would not want to see the STARS program not operate in the schools that was going to have STARS in September, because we haven't been able to figure out who gets it.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, what you're saying is a lot of promise, and
mm-hmm.
the piece of it that's interesting to me is that although some STARS programs have a heavy use of parents, I think that, you know, involving the parents and having them involved is a very important piece. The piece that concerns me is it just seems to me that if we spend a little more time now, you and the department can agree on what you see as appropriate for this RFP process so that you wouldn't have to wait for the emergency board, because it sounds to me like you have a fairly good idea about what you want.
I do, but I cannot go and tell the division who I think, I mean, it has to be an RFP. They have to bid.
That's
why I can't say, even though the governor can say that he wants STARS and STARS only or whatever, I cannot do that. But this committee can say, we are going to divide this between some other programs.
But the question is, why do we have to do the emergency board? That's the question I have. Why can't we put in the budget that they're going to do it this way, divide it, and have the RFP process?
Because I want to be sure that the funds are used exactly how the committee has decided to use them. That's why.
And so let me just ask here, if they go ahead and the budget is set up this way with the understanding that they'll come back to the e-board, would they be able to go ahead with the RFP process and then come back to the emergency board and say, this is what we've done before the funds are allocated, to be sure that it's done the way we want? Would that work? I mean, what I'm trying to do is to say how we do it.
They have to come back. The way we would do it is they have to come back to the e-board,
mm-hmm.
essentially, I guess. If I understand what you're saying, my answer would be yes. They'll have to come back to the e-board and say, this is how we've done the process. These are the, this is who we've chosen, and we'd like now for us to have the funds.
Madam Chair, is any consideration for phasing in other abstinence programs? That means allow one-fourth of the abstinence money for other abstinence programs, and next buying in, allow one-half of the abstinence money for other programs.
Since the biennium is 2 years, I think that, you know, we're talking about a short window of time just because schools start in September. I don't think you were here when we had the hearings for the program.
No,
and if you understood that these programs are ready to go,
mm-hmm.
there is no delay with those programs. The delay is having an RFP, going through the process of having a competitive bid for these programs that exist and have a track record, come and say, we would like to be one of the programs that a school can select. I really do not see that much of a problem with the timing. I do understand there may be some difficulty with the first day of school in September, but these programs do not go an entire school year. I think STARS is a how many weeks is the program? 5 weeks?
5 days.
5 days.
It's spread out over 5 weeks.
Which
is spread out over.
Which, you know, I mean, we're not talking about something that is a daily curriculum item. And so it's, I think it can be worked out. Even if the school doesn't do their program until December.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Eleanor, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Do schools RSP for the STARS program now, or do you just give them $9 per student?
Do they have them, committee members? Currently, schools districts that say they want to do the program are allocated $9 per student. But there's not an RFP process. They don't apply in that sense, and the money actually goes to the county health departments who work with the schools. So it flows through the county allocation process, and it is based on $9 per student in the district.
For middle school.
For middle school. Actually, we look at the number of fifth graders in that district.
Fifth grade?
Because there'll be sixth graders the following year. So right now we've said how many kids will be sixth graders next year, and that's where we base the allocations on.
Madam Chair, would you be willing to consider on the e-board side of it, just rather than the approval of all the RFPs, a report to the e-board about the process of developing the RFPs, who was selected, who got the contract? And the reason I ask that is, okay, if the e-board were to turn down an RFP.
It's up to the health division to
okay, so the people.
Not up to the. We just want a report on
that. Okay. I think we were not clear about that from our end.
To release the funds and let you use them for the folks that you've chosen. Okay? So.
I may have missed that communication right now.
Okay.
I didn't hear what.
Okay, what did you say, Gary?
Well, I was maybe expecting to say that the money would be divided in half, and we would be instructed, as we have been, we would do the RFP process, and we would award RFPs. We wouldn't hold the money. We would be able to get going, and then we would come to the e-board and report on the entire RFP process, who was given the money, and then we could get it going.
Okay.
We could get it going quicker.
I guess what I was thinking you said is that we would have to, you would come to the e-board and then we'd have to give a blessing on who you chose in order to release the money. That isn't, I do still think that you should come to the e-board for the money to be released.
I agree, Madam Chair. It's just a question of what you gain by holding on to the money. If you're going to release it anyway, what do you gain by holding on to it? Because we're going to make a report and you're going to, sounds like, release it anyway. If you just said, do it, get it done as quick as possible, and come to the first emergency board with a report about what you've done, we might be able to actually accelerate this.
Senator Yee, while we're thinking here.
I have a question, Madam Chair. So at the end of the first year, if not enough non-star abstinence program ask for half of this funding, what do we do with the remaining funds? Do we keep it there or do we move it to the STARS program?
Madam Chair, Senator, I think the answer to that question would be that if the money is in the emergency board, you would have the option to decide what to do with it. The emergency board would decide what to do with the money. They could make the determination that they would give it to back to the STARS program, or that they would hold it and have them come back.
Or there might be a different
or whatever. It might
year.
Be, yeah.
Second year, there would be other RFPs if we were doing it that way.
So Mr. Weeks' question is whether we release them now with the direction half-half or come back to the e-board for the release of funds, unscheduled.
He could continue. The budget knows it's not long.
Okay. Well, actually, I think we're just about ready to go. I really think we should go to the e-board. I don't believe that there is going to be a significant time problem, because I think kind of think that it could be staggered as far as the program.
I think that it would be appropriate, since these would be new programs, although we heard good testimony in committee about them, I think it would be appropriate that the money be placed at eBoard and that you come and report to us and we would release the funds on the RFPs that you had selected. I think that would be the appropriate thing to do.
If I'm understanding what you're saying, that they could go ahead with their RFP process, but that they would come to the eBoard in September with the process they had gone through and who they had selected, and then the money would be released. And so they wouldn't be promising these new people, you will actually get them. They'll say, you can apply, we're hoping this money will be available. That's common.
Yeah.
And that's a common way to apply for things. But that way they could get started, and the eBoard should approve
their process.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Senator
Fisher?
We may be
here until
September anyway,
and this is a new problem. Yes, it might be, but... Madam Chair, could I ask the department if they think that would work for them? What Chair Lewis just said.
Madam Chair, we can make that work. I'm just sort of struggling to see what... Is it possible the eBoard would not approve any ERPs, in which case we'd have to throw them all out and start over again?
Madam Chair, the emergency board doesn't have the authority to approve RFPs. The emergency board has the authority to release the money. And so that's a technical thing, but it may be.
So be careful.
We can make that work as described by the co-chair. I'm just looking for a way to make this happen as fast as we can make it.
Okay, and of course, you know, I'm interested in that as well.
Yes.
Senator Georgia.
Make this happen as fast as possible. Are we talking right now? It's in a few or 2,000 all in emergency board?
No.
$151,000
and $200,000 federal funds. And unscheduled $200,000 federal funds, or whatever the match is for that $151,000 federal funds, because we can't place federal funds in the emergency board, but unscheduled.
I have a question. So when they come to the eBoard to report about the non-star programs, can we hear a report also on the distribution of money to the existing STARS program and any extension?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We would give you a report on STARS, non-STARS, distribution of the money.
Mm-hmm. On the continuation and extension of STARS.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Peggy. Were you going to...
No, I was just clarifying whether that was a motion from Senator George or not. It sounded like one, but I wasn't sure whether it was.
It was a motion. Senator George has moved that we place $151,000 into the emergency board, unscheduled $200,000 of federal funds for abstinence-based programs to that actually follow the Title V.
Is it five?
Yeah, Title V instructions. Because I don't have to write
them. Abstinence only.
Yes, abstinence only programs. And they will come forward with RFPs. The health division will come to the emergency board for release of those funds after and report the process they've gone through. Remaining in the budget will be the $151,000 general fund, as well as the federal funds for that other half of the money. This is a crazy motion. and the foundation, the STARS Foundation Fund will remain in there.
Is there a discussion?
I think we have. But I think the idea, too, that Madam Chair, that there'd be some flexibility for implementing that in the fall. It sounds like they're going to need a little time to get started on some of these, and as long as it doesn't, as long as it's not a whole year program. I'm not too familiar with how it is scheduled, but
Seems like it could work out, even if it were not all weren't ready right on the first
right.
day of school.
And that's what I'm thinking, that it can be somewhat staggered and still probably accomplish what that program does in a school, since they normally don't go the whole school.
But it would give them the option, the opportunity to plan ahead for it.
Right.
And get the place.
Right. Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none. Budget has passed.
Madam Chair, I have one other recommendation.
Could I just clarify something for the record that since the STARS, some of the STARS program will be short, we would expect that some of these STARS program would seek funding from other sources. And Peggy, would they have to do anything to, would there be any, I'm just asking if there'd be any necessity. We're not really saying that these other STARS programs can't operate if they can find other funding.
Madam Chair, Representative Ross, I don't know of any impediment to that I'm not familiar with the federal regulations on STARS, but on federal dollars, but these are not state entities, so I presume if they wanted to generate money from some other source, there would be no impediment to that.
Do you have any limitation for these?
Okay, it's a country.
Madam Chair, I know in Lynn County, before the state gave them any money, they got money from Commission on Children and Families for prevention of teen pregnancies, and the community also contributed for the program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the one last issue is not on my list. It was a late raised issue, and that was the issue of some of the advertising associated with the teen pregnancy program. And a desire raised that some of the dollars be allocated to the appropriated to the emergency board on a temporary basis, and that the department would come back to the emergency board for release of these funds with a report on how they plan to carry out their teen pregnancy prevention advertising. And the amount of dollars that has been identified as still available, and I realize these are current biennium dollars right now, but then the biennium is almost over, so I trust that I could make the same transfer in terms of $99 or $1, and that would be, I believe, about $130,000 is what I've been told.
It has come to the attention of that some of the members are a little disturbed about abstinence or a teen pregnancy program, prevention advertising program. So the chair would move that we set aside in the emergency board in the amount of $131,000 for the health division to return to the emergency board and report what kind of an advertising program that they have adopted for this teen pregnancy.
Madam Chair, is this for the upcoming biennium or for this biennium? Is this current biennium or is this the next biennium?
These are next biennium dollars. Because we don't have any board now for the current biennium.
Okay.
I think that's, in fact, actually, I think that's a really wise thing because, rumors float around and if the E-Board has seen what they're doing and approves it. I think there's some very effective advertising, and I've seen some ads from other parts of the country that I personally wouldn't want the state of Oregon paying for. So I think that's a good plan.
Okay.
I support that.
Great. And Madam Chair, it's a technicality again, but just for the record, the emergency board would not be approving the advertising because it doesn't have the authority to approve advertising.
It would be releasing
the dollars based on the report.
So they would report their plan. But you could reject the plan.
Yes. We could reject
dollars. Funding.
Right.
Both. You could. I mean, if the plan was not acceptable, you could say we're not releasing the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Discussion.
Madam Chair, this $131,000. Comes out of the
That's an entirely different thing that I have not addressed at all, and it comes out of their teen pregnancy budget, which is in the child and family health
Family Health.
No, I got it right here. Child and Family Health budget.
Oh.
Some teen pregnancy dollars
mm-hmm.
in that budget that would come out of them.
Okay. Senator George.
This is off the subject.
Oh, we've got a motion.
Okay.
If this is a discussion of a motion. Okay. So if there's no further discussion, is there objection? Hearing and seeing none. That budget note. Senator George.
The question is on the fiscal report and on number four, which says chemical stockpile. What exactly is that?
The chemical stockpile program is a grant that was approved in the November 1998 e-board, and therefore it didn't get into the budget document. Why it is in here now as a policy package.
Oh, well.
It's a FEMA funded grant that flows through the emergency management division to the health division, and the health division, I'm not familiar with all the nitty-gritty details of it, but the gist of it is that they would supply some health-related training to the persons that are involved in the dismantling of the chemical stockpile in Umatilla.
Okay.
With that, we will adjourn. Thank you very much.